Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, August 6th, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching it and supporting people in learning. Some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great advantage for over 17 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and using it directly to turn any negative emotional experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each one of us has been gifted. You can also download the actual worksheet itself. It's a simple PDF file. You can click on it, download it, print it off, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows like this one, where people have been stepped through the use of that tool and or they've given powerful testimonials about how the use of that tool has improved their life quality and their relationships. And we hope people do that soon and often because that frequently provokes comments and questions. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call, 563-999-3581, or email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, or email Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org. This year we're also doing the Course in Miracles lessons and through the workbook of Course in Miracles. Today is the 218th day of the year. We continue our review with the reminder, I am not a body. I am free, for I am as the Creator created me. And today is a review of Lesson 198, which reads, only my condemnation injures me. Only my condemnation can injure me. My condemnation keeps my vision dark, and through my sightless eyes, I cannot see the vision of my glory. Yet today I can behold this glory and be glad. So I remind myself that I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as the Creator created me. We're also doing the Pam Grout Course in Miracles experiment book. And her lesson 218 is titled, Is it fact or just a long-held cultural belief. She quotes Annie Lamott as saying, "I pray for the change in perception that will let me see bigger and sweeter realities." Pam writes, WebMD and other, quote, authorities, close quotes, insist that you need 8 hours of sleep, that there's a disease called seasonal affective disorder, SAD, S-A-D, that inflicts havoc every winter, and that gaining weight is inevitable if you don't rigorously watch what you eat. But what if these beliefs were nothing but flimsy ideas made true by believing in them, by investing in them, and by holding them up as scientific fact? If consciousness provides the scaffolding for the physical world, and the course of in miracles and quantum physics tells me that it does, energy into any belief encrusts it into physical form. Most of us can buy that we have some power over our own reality, but we don't make the correlation that groupthink, those facts of our culture, our medical community, or our media tout as true, are also temporary forms of reality, in quotes. Who's to say what is and isn't possible? Do I want to believe the widely expanding Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders? Or do I want to believe what pharmaceutical companies insist I need? Do I want to believe that what happened yesterday is going to happen again today? Or do I want to create a new day, a new reality, and a new world? So that's Pam Grout's offering. I am not a body. I am free. For I am still as the Creator created me. And that's our lesson 218 from Course in Miracles workbook. So let us know your comments or your questions, 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, it'll put a little question mark by your phone number, and I can announce you by your area code, and we can have a conversation. What's on your mind today? Or how can we serve you today? How can we be of service? That's our entire intention for being here, is to be of service. And when you call and ask a question or suggest a topic, it makes it easier for us to live into that intention. And we'd be happy to have you join us and do that. We have about 50 minutes left. Helen, is this Helen? Ellen.
Ellen, yes.
It has been a while. Welcome, Ellen.
Oh, thank you. I was curious to know, I started reading a new book. It's actually a book I bought 9 years ago, and I never read it. For some reason, I was just drawn to start reading it. And curious as to if you have read this or any of this author's books. The author is Richard Moss, M-O-S-S, and the book I'm reading is called Inside Out Healing.
No, it's not familiar to me.
Okay. So the subtitle is Transforming Your Life Through the Power of Presence. And I find that, I mean, it's in complete alignment with everything else that you talk about. And it's yet another way of doing the work that we're all doing. It's most closely aligned with Byron Katie's the work. But it's like her work, but it goes deeper, and it's more expansive and deeper, I would say. But he's got a similar worksheet. I think it's called the Muddy Me worksheet. where you take, you know, what, like whatever stressful situation you may be in, and you write down all of the stories you tell yourself about that situation, but you divide them up between the stories that are about you, the stories that are about anything other than you, the stories that are in the past, and the stories that are in the future. And he says these are really the only four ways that we, that the ego pulls us out of the now moment and into the story. It's always about, you know, one of those four. So his process is he teaches first and foremost how to become present, how to actually be in the now moment. And then his process, which is called the mandala of being, you actually create a mandala that, like, on the floor or on the table, wherever you want to do it. I mean, you can actually do it with your whole body if you do it on the floor. And you move yourself, you know, you anchor yourself in the now, you start in the center of the circle. And then you take each of these stories that you've created, you know, say it's a me story, and you move to a me position on the mandala, and you experience, you put what it is that, when you believe that story about yourself, what it is that you feel, you just directly experience it. And then, like, you move yourself, after you've done that, then you move yourself back to the now position, and you experience what it feels like to no longer believe that thought about yourself. And it goes on. It's a whole long process, and you can. But it's very much like the two questions in Byron Katie's work, like, how does this thought make me feel? How does believing this thought make me feel? And then, you know, who am I without this thought? And then he also goes deeper into,
lots of echoes of that, yes.
Yes. And then he also, he takes it a step further where you come up with all of the opposite position. So if you're believing one thing about yourself, well, then there's an opposite position about yourself. And you go back and forth between those. Just like the turnarounds that, you know, there's many different ones, and he takes you through all the different kind of opposites. Like, if it's about another person, like, I don't trust this person, and it's like, well, I do trust this person, or this person doesn't trust me, or, you know, and then you take it all home. I don't trust myself. Oh, I do trust myself. And in the end, you release like each pair of the opposites to, again, just anchor yourself right back into that, just being in the now moment without any of it. So it's a very interesting, and I like the process. I actually haven't tried it yet because I just read about it this morning. But I thought, wow, I wonder if Dr. Tim is familiar with this, because, again, it's right in alignment.
Is this the book, The Mandala of Being?
No, but that is another one of his books. I think he wrote before this one, and that one, he said in this book that, you know, he describes the whole process in this book, but he said if you want to get even more in-depth into the process, then read his book, The Mandala of Being.
And then what's the title of this book?
Healing. I think this may have been his latest one.
But you said you've had it for years and not read it?
Yes. Yeah. And it was like all of a sudden, well, I had just finished reading The Impersonal Life again, which that book to me is like just such a gem. And I was like, okay, what next? And then all of a sudden it was like I remembered that I had this book that I never read. And it was like, oh, okay, I think it's time to pull this out. And I was so surprised when I started reading it. Like, wow, yeah, I think this is a good one to read. So I was just curious if you had read it, if you had done any of, you know, this process that he describes, and you know, it's
no,
just
but it
another
sounds like
tool.
A very similar process to the Byron Katie work, as you were mentioning.
Exactly. It's just a little more, it's more embodied in that he has you really concentrate on the feeling and the direct experience, you know, and to really take you out of, instead of, you know, and she, I think she describes that too. It's not just like you ask yourself the question and just take whatever comes into your mind. You really got to go deep with it. And so he really describes that process of, you know, really feeling into. And again, it's like because he has you create like an actual mandala, like on the floor, and you step into the different positions. And it's more of just like an embodied process than one where you're just sitting and thinking and meditating about it. So I really like it. Like I said, I'm not even halfway through the book, but just I got through the whole description of that process, and I thought I would.
All right.
Call
well,
in.
I'll look into it.
Okay.
Thanks for the suggestion.
You're welcome.
I think the one book. The Mandala of Being was in 2010, and the one you're reading is in 2011. So he wrote them in consecutive years, or at least published them in consecutive years.
Okay. The other one that I saw that really kind of appealed to me was, it's called The Second Miracle. And that, from what I understand, the way he describes the first miracle is the miracle of actually the creation of the ego, you know, the small personal self. And then the second miracle or the, the self. And then the second miracle is the emergence of the non-self, the true, or you could say the true self. And that one looked really interesting to me too. People, you know, give really great reviews on that. But it's interesting because I've never heard anyone mention this man's name before, and I'm not even sure how I found this book. I know I'm sure it wasn't recommended to me. I think I was just like out on Amazon or something and came across it and thought, wow, this looks really good, and purchased it and then never read it. So
it might have been the algorithm on Amazon, because when you start doing spiritual books, they start suggesting other spiritual type books. So
yeah could be. So I guess he used to be an MD.
Yeah, that's what it's listed on the book.
Yeah,
on the cover. Richard Moss, MD.
What I read in one of the reviews is that he, I guess while he was an MD, he had a spiritual awakening, and that's what just took him out of that and into what he's doing now.
Well, I'll check it out.
Okay.
Thank you for the suggestion. Any other comments or questions or topic suggestions?
I don't think so. I just, you know, want for anyone who's listening who has not yet read The Impersonal Life, I would like to recommend that, because that to me is, and what's interesting is that book just was handed to me by a friend of mine several years ago, and as soon as he handed it to me, I was like, oh, I recognize the cover, because my I realized that it was a book my father must have lent me. My father was very he was like my spiritual mentor for, well, ever since I really got on my spiritual path, and he used to lend me books, and my copy of the book has this really interesting drawing on the front cover, and I just always, you know, it's like you, it looks like one thing, it's one of those drawings, you look at it one way and you see one thing, and then you look at it, keep looking at it, and all of a sudden it turns into something else. And it's especially, I think, powerful for me just because of some things I've gotten in the past, like that I didn't know anything, like what does this mean, but I see it, even just like one day I just drew this symbol, and I got so excited. I was like, I have no idea what this symbol means. Why am I getting so excited? I just knew it was really, really important. And you can see the symbol on the front cover if you look at it a certain way, and then it's also, like, inside the front cover. Well, anyway, I went on the Internet the other day to find the book. I was going to get it for someone, and I noticed that there's like different versions with different covers. None of them have the cover that's on mine. And I just thought that was really interesting because I thought that this cover was such an important part of the book for me, just like looking at that drawing.
Well, it was just what you needed.
I guess so. I was just very curious.
It was orchestrated by part of that impersonal aspect.
Right.
The creation.
So I don't think that it's the original, because it looked like the original version is just like a plain cover with the title on the front cover. And, in fact, all of the ones that I saw had the title on the cover. Mine does not have any words on the cover at all. It's just the drawing. The only place you see the title of the book is on the binding. So I thought, well, that's very strange. So if this wasn't the original cover, where did this drawing come from? And when did it, you know what I mean? Like, it's just very... It's a real mystery to me.
Yeah,
I mean,
it'd probably take a little research to discover that.
Yeah, so you're the one that you have. I think you have it, right?
I don't have it. I accessed it through christmind.info.
Oh, okay.
Christmind.info.
Okay.
And that's where I learned about it, and that's the only way I've accessed it.
Okay. Well, mine is actually very small. It's only like maybe 4 inches high by 4 inches wide. It's a very small book. It's just different from any other book I've ever seen, just to look at it. And then with that drawing on the front, you know, it's so very curious.
When you go to christmind.info, there's one cover that just has kind of a gold color antique paper or something with black letters on it that says The Impersonal Life, Joseph S. Benner.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one says Get Acquainted with Joseph S. Benner, and it looks like, you know, a half moon with cranes flying in front of it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so interesting. I have no idea where this drawing came from. But, yeah, maybe I'll have to do some research and see if I can. Because it obviously was, you know, it was definitely meant to go with the book, because there's some, you know, there's a part in the book where he talks about the three in one, and this drawing clearly depicts the three in one. It's... You know, it's meant to be part of the book, but I don't think it was the original cover, so I don't know who added it at some point, and then why did it get taken away? Because it's not what's being offered today.
Well, I will look at the Moss book and give some feedback if I get a chance to read that soon, and I appreciate the input.
Okay.
And I can also recommend to people The Impersonal Life by Joseph S. Benner. We've explored much of that book. I don't think we made it all the way through it in our Thursday group, but again, same messages as Course in Miracles and Way of Mastery, and just
mm-hmm.
a slightly different take on it.
Yes. Yes, but I think it's my favorite of all of them. Because it seems so intimate, you know, when you're reading it, that God is speaking directly to you. And
Well, and yeah, parts of it are written that way, just that way. Like, here's the divine. And he was born in 1872 and died in 1894 at the age of 69. Or, I'm sorry, in 1941. Yeah. He married in 1894. And he was a businessman most of his life and died at 69 years of age and left this gem.
Yeah.
You know, the impersonal life.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
And, okay, you're welcome.
And I'll explore that.
Okay,
anything
great.
Anything else for you today?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, nice to hear from you. Thanks for chiming in. And I'll look forward to the next time you choose to add some content.
Okay. Blessings,
right.
Dr. Tim.
So we have 32 minutes left, 34 minutes left, something like that. 563-999-3581 is our call-in number. How can we support you? Have you read the Moss book? Have you read The Impersonal Life? Do you have comments or questions about anything to do with our Course in Miracles lesson today or the Pam Grout Course in Miracles experiment commentary on that lesson? How could it be that I am not a body, I am free, and I'm still as the Creator created me? How is it that we have such a powerful process of perception that leaves us perceiving that we're right and the other person's wrong, even when we're in pain? How is it that we live in a culture where we've been trained to believe that we know what's going on, and we will literally fight for the continuation of a process of life and perception that leaves us in agony? How could that be? How might we wake up to realize that we are creating our experience of life? And how might we step into the amendment of that process so we create a more loving, joyful, happy life? We have tools available for that. We have 10 years of 5 days a week and 1 hour a day and 8 years of 1 hour a day and 2 years of 2 hours a day talking about that very thing. What is it that is in our process of living life, thinking and perceiving that has us creating our own pain and suffering and then arguing and fighting for how we must know what's going on and we must be right, even though we're miserable, even though we acknowledge we don't like what we're feeling? That's a powerful question. That's part of what Pam Grout is trying to talk about from our Course in Miracles lesson today and her take on it. Is the fact of my life actual? Or is it just the product of a long-held cultural belief? How have I come to believe that I'm right and the people and the world around me are wrong, even when I'm angry, sad, scared, hurt, confused, or feeling vengeance or rage? How is it that despite the fact that I don't like any of those feelings, argue for how I'm right even when I'm in the middle of those feelings? If something about that doesn't seem quite right to you, we invite your comments and your questions. If something about that is wearing you down and making you feel like this life isn't worth living and I don't want to keep doing this, we have some tools that you might use to uncover, to discover, and then begin to dismantle the actual process you're using to create the misery in your own life. And the tools are available at whyagain.org. And those tools are basically all we talk about here on Mind Shifters Radio. We had a support group last night, and we had somebody do a worksheet. And then we had other people who did their worksheets and discussed them. Then we had a conversation about the lecture, the seminar, the recording of a seminar that's available absolutely free at mindshiftersacademy.org on the educational materials page. And the title of that is Saying Goodbye to Good People Without Saying Goodbye to Good Memories. And there was somebody in the group last night who was considering writing a letter to someone that she was ending a relationship with and considering two options. One was responsibility communication, three options actually. One was just a goodbye letter, and one was this process of how to say goodbye to good people without saying goodbye to good memories. And that remains one of the more useful tools I've ever been exposed to and or been a part of creating. And if you want access to that, if you are coming to a turning point in one of your relationships, if you are acknowledging the ending of a relationship or the ending of a phase in a relationship that might be of use to you, it's available free at mindshiftersacademy.org on the educational materials page, and it's titled How to Say Goodbye to Good People Without Saying Goodbye to Good Memories. And there are two audio files, about an hour each, are recordings of the seminar. And there's a PDF file that contains a list of the categories that I find quite useful when applying that tool. So it's just another of the many resources available absolutely free to try and live into our intention of being of service. So how can we be of service to you today? What's on your mind? We have 25 minutes left. 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. I was mentioning the other day that I'm going through the book Awareness one more time. It's one of those books that I read once or twice a year. It's by Anthony DeMello. And the way his sense of humor and what I learned years after reading this book is that it's basically just made of transcripts of kind of seminars he gave or talks he gave or retreats he did. And so here is a very intelligent, very open, honest person who tells stories on himself, who has been studying spirituality for a long time, and he has a wonderful way, a conversational way of relating. And I remember one of the things from very early in the book, he was talking about how people think that they should change so that other people are happy, and vice versa. Other people should change so they're happy. And so he asked his audience once when he was on the seminar circuit or the retreat circuit, he said, so do you think that you should change who you are or give up what you love in order to make your partner happy or in order to make your partner feel loved? And the audience said, yes. And he said, wow, just think about that. So I do what I don't like, so I make myself unhappy so that you'll feel loved. And you do the same thing. you make yourself unhappy, so I'll feel loved. And then we have two miserable people, but we've got what you call love. How crazy is that? His ability to look at things and bring them right down to the core, very simple, struck me from the first time I read his stuff as genius. You know, he has people say when they come to his seminars, will I be of help? Are you going to help me if I come to your retreat? And he says, no, I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to help anybody. If I did, I would be doing more damage to you than help. If I tried to help you, if you get damaged, you did it. If you get helped, you did it. It's kind of one of the cores of what I talk to people about in my therapy work, and I did it for decades, even before meeting Dr. Michael Rice, but I would have people occasionally, and the energy, the resonance would be there, the chemistry would be there, and they would have so much benefit from the therapy that they would say, oh my gosh, Dr. Hayes, you know, you saved my life, or you saved my child, and I would say, no, you've really missed the point there. I didn't do anything except show up and do what I always do with people. If you had any idea how many people I've said the very same kinds of things to, if you knew how many people I've introduced to calming breath work and being gentle with themselves and canceling goals and using the reality management worksheet and doing EFT tapping, if you had any idea how many people I presented this body of work to who thought I was crazy, either left in the middle of a session or left after a session and never came back, then you would start to realize how true it is that you're the one who heals. You're the one who makes a positive change in your life. Not the therapist, not the priest, not the magician, not the healer. You are the one who makes a change in your life. If you pick up the tools and apply them in your life, you can initiate change. If you reject the tools, if you accept the tools but don't apply them in your life, change isn't going to happen. There are a number of people who talk about, you know, spiritual evolution and the evolution on the planet, and there are a number of other teachers that say, look, I got news for you. This evolutionary process doesn't just automatically happen. You have to choose to let go of the stuff that doesn't work and apply tools and do more of the stuff that does. You're not going to get enlightened just because you do stuff or just because you're moving. It might have been Guy Finley or it might have been somebody else who said, you know, if just doing something, anything, would eventually lead to evolution, then our washing machines would become enlightened because they agitate and they spin and they vibrate. But spinning and going nowhere is not about what enlightenment is or about progress or learning or healing. So if you're motivated to look for, find, and then discover tools that might help you understand yourself, understand the process of life, as I like to say, that's unfolding in, through, as, and around you in this moment. If you discover more of how that works, and then you choose to use that knowledge in being a certain way, moment to moment, you will initiate change. But no one else is going to change you. Anthony DeMello says, take a minute to think about this. Do you think you help people because you're in love with them? You're never in love with anyone. You're only in love with your prejudiced and hopeful idea of that person. Take a minute to think about it. You're never in love with anyone. You're in love with your prejudiced idea of that person. Isn't that how you fall out of love? Your idea changes, doesn't it? How could you let me down when I trusted you so much? Or you say to somebody, you aren't the way you used to be. You don't love me because you won't do this or that. Did you really trust that person? You never really trusted anyone. Come off of it. That's part of society's brainwashing. You never trust anybody. You trust your judgment about that person. And so what are you complaining about? The fact is that you don't like to say, quote, my judgment was lousy, close quotes. Why? Because that's not very flattering to me. So I prefer to say, how could you have let me down? Don't try to teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and it irritates the pig. Don't try to convince people that you love them. Same thing as trying to teach a pig to sing. And here's that quote I was referencing. A woman once told me when she was a child, her Jesuit cousin gave a retreat in the Jesuit Church of Milwaukee. He opened the conference with these words: the test of love is sacrifice, and the gauge of love is unselfishness. That's marvelous. So I asked her, would you want me to love you at the cost of my own happiness? And she answered, yes. And then I said, isn't that delightful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? She would love me at the cost of her happiness, and I would love her at the cost of my happiness. And so now we've got two unhappy people, but long live love. So there are pearls and gems through that entire book, Awareness. And as I was mentioning before, there was this image he created to help the help us understand the difference between concentration and awareness. So concentration is like a laser beam or a fine little spotlight, and awareness is like a bank of floodlights. Here's a funny story. He says, there's a story of little Johnny, who they say was mentally retarded. But evidently he wasn't, as you'll learn from this story. Johnny goes to modeling class in his school for special children, and he gets this piece of putty, and he's molding it. He takes a lump of putty and goes to a corner of the room, and he's playing with it. The teacher comes up to him and says, hi, Johnny. And Johnny says, hi. And the teacher says, what's that you've got in your hand? And Johnny says, this is a lump of cow dung. The teacher asks, what are you making of it? And Johnny says, I'm making a teacher. Well, the teacher thinks little Johnny has regressed. So she calls out to the principal, who is passing by the door at that moment, and says, Johnny has regressed. So the principal goes up to Johnny and says, hi, son. Johnny says, hi. And the principal says, what do you have in your hand? And he says, a lump of cow dung. The principal asks, and what are you making of it? Johnny says, a principal. The principal thinks that this is a case for the school psychologist. So he calls out, send for the psychologist. Now, the psychologist is a clever guy, and he goes up and he says, hi. And Johnny says, hi. And the psychologist says, I know what you've got in your hand. And Johnny says, what? And the psychologist says, you've got a lump of cow dung. And Johnny says, you're right. And the psychologist says, and I know what you're making out of it. And Johnny says, what? And the psychologist says, you're making a psychologist. Johnny says, wrong, not enough cow dung. And they called Johnny retarded. So people will tell you you're crazy when you begin to see through the insanity of our culture. Right? There are people, and I interviewed a woman a few weeks ago, Lauren Spiro, and it's available in journeystream.org/podcast. And she was very bright and very creative, and she was 14 years old when her father was killed. And a year and a half later, working through her grief, working through the teen years with a single mother as a parent and the trauma of losing her father, she went out for a walk one night and felt this flood of energy. And the energy grew more and more intense until eventually it was God talking to her. And it was uplifting, and it was positive, and it was exciting. And when she went home from her long walk, she went in and told her mother that she's excited, and she thinks she's got a purpose in life, and that she should call the president and, you know, start, you know, sharing these wonderful ideas about how to make the world a better place. And she went to bed. And the next morning, her mother took her straight to the psychiatrist, who said, take her straight to the hospital. Do not even go home. And a year later, she finally got out. They locked her up and they drugged her because she had an enlightening, creative, lively, positive experience energetically. And, you know, here we are all of these years later, and I'm sure you can tell if you listen to the interview, that Lauren currently, fully an adult, and she's intelligent, and she's creative, and she's high-functioning, which means that when she was 14 and 15, 16 years old, she was intelligent and creative and pretty high-functioning. And yet, when she saw things differently, when she had an experience energetically, spiritually, emotionally, that was more different, more true than what the culture at the time was calling her to believe, they called her crazy. And because of what the culture was prone to do at that time, they locked her up and drugged her. Well, eventually she got out, finished high school, finished college, finished a master's in clinical community psychology. And she's been an advocate for people who've had mental health crises ever since. So we're advocating for you, for me, for all of us, to question things more and more deeply, to understand more and more accurately what it is that we're doing that creates our mental, emotional, and psychological suffering. Because once we understand that, we can change it. And Michael and Jeannie are making available absolutely free, powerful tools to facilitate those changes, to deepen our understanding of the hidden processes in our own mind that get activated, that create our perception, and therefore create our suffering. The only way to get out of something is to see through it. We're not asking people to denounce or run away, because when you fight something, you're tied to it forever. As long as you're fighting something, you're giving it power. You give it as much power as you are using to fight it. So, seeing through it, understanding at deeper and deeper levels, true perception, as Michael Rice would call one of the spiritual faculties. That's what frees us from the mess we make. Oh, the tangled web we weave when first we practice to perceive. Now, most of us have heard that quote as, oh, the tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive, to lie. But it came to me a few years ago that, as Course in Miracles points out, perception is made as an attack on God. Perception is our distorted picture that we, each of us, make up as different based on our interactions with what's actually happening, based on the interpretation we make from the tiny bits of information we get through our senses, etc. So it came to me to say, oh, the tangled web I weave when first I practice to perceive. And in my perception, I create an image of myself as separate from other people. I create an image of myself as having certain qualities that I identify with and that I need to defend. And therein lies the root of most of my suffering. So, the more we can question, the more we can step back and be the observer watching how we're creating the upsets that we experience, the more we get to see our own life, our own process, from a different angle. And when we're open and questioning everything, then we start to dismantle our brainwashing. Whether we realize it or not, every one of us has been conditioned, indoctrinated, brainwashed in ways we can't even begin to imagine. And that's one of the ways to think of what's the process of enlightenment. It's waking up to the conditioning. It's waking up to the brainwashing. Anthony DeMello says, and so in order to wake up, the only thing you need, what you need the most, is not energy or strength or youthfulness or even great intelligence. The one thing you need most of is the readiness to learn something new. The chances that you will wake up are in direct proportion to the amount of truth you can take without running away. How much are you ready to take? How much of everything you've ever held dear are you ready to have shattered without running away? How ready are you to think of something that's unfamiliar? Most people's first reaction to this is one of fear. It's not that we fear the unknown. We can't fear something we do not know. Nobody's afraid of the unknown. What you really fear is the loss of the known. What you fear is the negative projection that you place into the unknown. So, the more we're willing to question everything, the more we're willing to do is every worksheet calls me to cancel my need to be right, cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, cancel my need to make up another story out of these brain cells to prove that I'm right, even though in the process of my perception in the moment, while I think I'm so right, I'm creating the negative emotion that's so unpleasant that I'm motivated to pick up a worksheet to get rid of it. How bizarre is that? Even when I'm busy creating my experience and I create an experience that's so unpleasant, I reach for a tool to undo the painful aspect of it, I still want to cling to the fact that I'm right. So the way to have happiness, the way to enlightenment, is to question everything, to be constantly questioning, to walk in and realize, as the Course in Miracles and the Way of Mastery tell us over and over again, I don't know what anything is or what it's for. I don't know what any of my brothers or sisters need in any given moment. I don't know what I need. I don't know who created me or when I was created. So when the part of my mind that's been so brainwashed and conditioned to think it knows, when it screams at me or it screams at somebody else that it's right and someone else is wrong, that could be my wake-up call. I can reprogram myself so that I understand at deeper and deeper levels that every time I'm in pain or fear or sadness and a part of my mind wants to tell me that it's right, my mind is right, and the world is wrong, I could choose to use that, reprogram myself to have that be my wake-up call. I don't have to keep creating more of the problem and then being unhappy with the problem, create a belief and a perception that shows me how someone or something outside of me must have created it. I can choose to understand and start programming myself to see how I'm creating the problems I experience in my life. So we have about 3 minutes left. We have another hour coming up. This is a Friday, so there will be a weekend with no shows, but we'll be back next week. And again, we have two support groups coming up next week, one Tuesday, one Thursday. Feel free to join us. The information about how to do that is at mindshiftersacademy.org, a separate page for each Tuesday and Thursday group. So join us or pass that information along to somebody. Do yourself a favor. Do them a favor. It's a loving community of people. It's a powerful set of tools. It's a joy to be around people who've decided that instead of eating something they don't need to eat or drinking something they don't need to drink or buying something they don't need to buy or sitting in front of a video screen or a television show, they're actually going to spend the time to learn about themselves and make their lives better. And that's a blessing, and we invite you to join us for that blessing on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central. And let us know if we've got a comment or a question for us or a topic you would like to have us explore. I'd like to thank Ellen today for the recommendation about the book by Richard Moss, M-O-S-S. And there's a couple books that he's written. One of them is The Mandala of Being, Discovering the Power of Awareness, and the other one is, you'll find it. He's got a couple different books written in 2010, Inside Out Healing Transforming Your Life Through the Power of Presence is the second title. So I'll remind us all that we come from love, we're made of the stuff we call love, we actually are love, and everything else is false. And I will welcome Jeannie Rice if she is available to turn on her microphone.
I am. Thank you, Dr. Sam. Yeah. I hope you have a good weekend.
Thanks. Same to you. Have a great show.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. Today is Friday, August the 6th, 2021, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. Give Michael a moment to get dialed in, and there he is. Hi. Welcome, Michael.
Are you waiting for me to dial in, sweetie?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm here.
Awesome.
Ivy here, and welcome, everybody. Delighted that you're here with us. We get to do this one more time. And there's nothing more exciting in the world for me. Well, maybe there are a few things, but one of the most exciting things in the world for me is to watch the relief and the look in people's eyes when their brain starts to kick into functioning out of love rather than functioning out of hostility and fear. You know, if you go back to the Aramaic language, which is the root of all of this work, the teachings of a man named Yeshua, the word law in Aramaic has nothing to do with our idea of law, which is the rule of a superior. You know, we think the law, you know, if you say to somebody, oh, we do this course called Laws of Living, they say, well, send me a set of the laws. I want to read them. I want to read what the superior passed and, you know, calls laws. And I say, no, there's no such thing. The difference in the meaning of the word law is as different as the meaning of the word forgiveness from the Greek to the Aramaic. The Greek forgiveness is, you did something really terrible that caused all this pain inside of me, but it's okay. I'll let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. And that's called forgiveness. In Aramaic, forgiveness is a tool with which you go inside yourself and remove your pain. Love in Greek is something we're going to do to somebody else, or they're going to do to us, and perhaps include sexual athletics or, you know, whatever is going on in our minds. In Aramaic, love has nothing to do with any of that. Love is a state of being. It's who we are. This work is about living as the presence of love, not loving people. You know, nobody's ever going to love you. Nobody has ever loved you. Nobody ever will love you. You've never loved anyone, and you are never going to love anyone, including yourself. And the man Yeshua never said, love your neighbor as yourself. That's all a fraud. It's all just total fake. In Aramaic, love describes the state of being. It's what you are. So when we go to that passage where Yeshua ostensibly said, love your neighbor as yourself, love the Creator as yourself, what he said was, have rachma for the Creator, have rachma for your neighbor. And by so doing, you will maintain your human life, which is love. And that's such a foreign concept. You know, it's interesting. We read the writings of Vladimir Lenin, and he says, if you want to destroy a culture, just change the meaning of its words. And you've done it. In the culture of Yeshua, you would think people would have an interest in the actual words of the man, but we live in a culture that, no. The Greeks told me all I need to know. Well, if Yeshua sat in most circles today that are ostensibly speaking about his work and his teachings, he'd say, that's all Greek to me. So the word law in the Greek, our Greek-oriented philosophical world, is the rule of a superior. In the Aramaic, the word law simply means how it works. So they asked Yeshua, how does human life work? How does it work to function like and as a human being? And he says, not love God, love neighbor as yourself. He says you've got to have rachma for the Creator, rachma for the neighbor, in order to maintain self. Now, people will say, well, wait a minute, but I want you to explain that to me in terms that I can understand. You know, I want to know that in terms of what I already know. It's like, excuse me, not going to happen. You're going to have to develop some new brain cells. Well, I really didn't want to work for this. I just wanted you to let me call in and have everything fixed. You know, I got $5 in 5 minutes. Well, if you think $5 in 5 minutes is going to do it, then you might as well just let go of it now. And if you're ready to dig in and really build some brain cells and live differently. There's a cute cartoon that passed across my desk a little while back, and it's a obviously a politician standing up in front of a large crowd and rah, rah, rah. And, you know, how many want everything to change? You see people, their arms are up in the air and they're jumping for joy and they're screaming and they're yelling, yeah. In the next frame, how many want to change? And everybody in his audience is looking down at their feet. most people are looking for tools with which to get other people in their lives to change. And their basic message is, don't make me look at my life. Don't make me change. In essence, what they're saying is, let me live in my blockage of truth and believe that everybody else is the problem in my life. Yes, I feel pain. Oh, yeah, I feel rage. Oh, I feel such anger. I feel such hatred. I feel such vengeance. And all those people have made me that way. Well, the basic message of this work is, to that sort of a statement, is liar, liar, pants on fire. Nobody has ever made you angry. Nobody has ever irritated you. No one has ever done any of those things to you. But if you have those things inside of you, wow, anybody can bring them up. Anybody that knows how to get your goat. So we have a solution in this work for dealing with people who can get your goat. And that is, you get rid of your goat. Now, guess what getting rid of your goat in Aramaic translates as? It translates as forgiveness. If your goat, so to speak, is your rage or your fear or your sadness or your grief or your upset or your disturbance or your terror or your trauma or your drama or your blame or whatever it is, that's yours. Got to stop lying to yourself and pretending somebody else is doing it to you. Well, Michael, you didn't see what they did. You know what? I saw what they did to you. That was really terrible. But you know what? What they did to you didn't cause what happened inside of you to be inside of you. It may have caused it to move. You may successfully live your life so that those painful experiences you hold back and keep from experiencing until somebody shows up with the decoder that decodes that in you and gets it moving. But it only moves in you because it's in you. We've got to stop the lie that it's about somebody else. So that's the essence of this work. That's where we're going with this. And I'm going to turn to the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And we're in the chapter on healing, abuse, and victimhood. If you're reading along with us, we're on page 97. So we're talking to Richard about living in this abuse and victimhood mode, and that basically we live in a culture that enables people who live in hostility and fear to do so. And so we've been questioning that, having a conversation about that the last few days. And now Richard is going to make a case for why you need to be hostile. And he says, well, it is necessary to fight back and protect yourself, he said in an argumentative tone. It is participation in that kind of thinking that is causing violence to become the norm in our culture. People tend to be so close to what they do, they cannot see their own insanity. Be assured that from within the society, ruled by the quote-unquote volcano gods, sacrificing young maiden now and then was not a bizarre idea. Torturing and burning people to stake was not strange from within the belief system of the inquisitors. It was a reasonable way to save souls. And then here's a really major key piece of understanding to have, and that is reason, when not consciously governed, can justify anything it can conceive of. Anything it decides to do. And so one of the things that we're going to focus on from time to time through the building of the brain cells to support people in doing this work is to recognize what reason really is. And we live in a culture that, presents you with a question and your mind gives you an answer and say, well, I reasoned to that conclusion. Well, 99.9% of the time, there's no reason involved. It's pure resonance. The non-being mind has a cheap copy of everything real in the spiritual dimension. If I say, don't think about the color of your car, what happens in your mind? Well, brain cells fire. Brain cells resonated by the idea, the body of my thought, the color of your car. Doesn't matter whether I said don't think about it or think about it. That's what moves in you through resonance. And resonance is a cheap copy of reason. There is no reason in the mind spitting up its decisions. The mind is a decision-making machine. You know, what's the front door of your house look like? You don't reason to that conclusion. It's information stored in your mind. And by asking the question, I resonated those brain cells. Information stored in the subconscious part of your mind comes forward, and you're consciously aware of what the front door of your house looks like. What's your favorite item of clothing? Information stored. Do you have to reason to the conclusion? No. Resonance is all it takes. Reason is the ability to discard or move away from certain kinds of thoughts that are not in harmony with the truth of who we are, and to replace those thoughts with information sourced from the mind of connected love rather than playing out whatever's stored in what we call the replicant mind. Now, your body-mind unit is a multi-generational database that has literally every thought, every feeling, every experience, every reality of many, many generations in your bloodline. And what that mind does, what that storage system does, and we call it a mind, but it really isn't a mind, is if there's something in it that matches what shows up in the world, that information resonates, and the mind makes a decision. The word decision comes from the root of to separate from, to destroy, decision, decide, cut off. So suicide, fratricide, homicide is to cut off. So when we are in decision-making mode, we are cut off from the possibility of actual reason, spiritual faculty with which we bring in new insight, new information based in love rather than live out of the mind based in hostility and fear. So that's where we want to go with this work, and we're delighted and honored that you're here to be part of the conversation. Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up? Anything happening in the chat room?
Hold just one second. No hands up.
Okay.
And no comment in the chat room. One of the things that was, I was just kind of flipping over to make sure that I've spelled this gentleman's name right. Dr. Tim had given a quote of Anthony DeMello, and it was,
he's awesome.
The one thing that you need most of all is the readiness to learn something new. The chances that you will wake up are in direct proportion to the amount of truth that you can take without running away. And so I was actually
wow, now that's
looking
a good one.
Up.
You got to send me a copy of that one, honey.
Yeah. And so I was looking up while I was looking to see how to spell his name, and there were so many quotes out there. And so I actually wrote
priest,
a couple.
Actually.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah, I think
he's got some phenomenal sayings.
Yep.
And you were talking about love and it not being something that you do yourself or another person. It's that must be the theme for today, because Dr. Tim had also been sharing about two people who were demanding that the other person love them, quote unquote, even to the extent of sacrificing their own happiness. So I would love you even if it makes me unhappy, and you would love me even if it makes you unhappy. It's like, okay, give me vanilla.
No love in that equation. Approval.
Really?
The world's cheap copy. It's another word that's been destroyed.
Now, so I wrote down three other quotes of his, and one of them is, and this, you mentioned this too when you were talking about blockage of truth. And I mean, it's like everything's just following along the same theme. But he says, if what you seek is truth, there is one thing that you must have above all else. And the person says, I know, an overwhelming passion for it. He goes, no, an unremitting readiness to admit you might be wrong.
Mm. Yep.
And then another one, and you were talking about resonance, and they use the wording a little bit different in this one than what we would use, but he says people mistakenly
right.
assume that their thinking is done in their head. It is actually done by the heart, which first dictates the conclusion and then commands the head to provide the reasoning that defends it.
That's it. Rationalization. Rationalize.
Yeah. And then there's one more. There is only one cause of unhappiness. It's false beliefs you have in your head, beliefs so widespread, so commonly held, that it never occurs to you to question them.
For sure.
So he
right
has some good
on
stuff
track.
Out there.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Yeah.
But that first one in particular, if you'd send me a copy of it, I'd no, send them all if you would, but
well, okay.
I would love to have a copy of that one. That's just so...
Oh, we
you know,
have
the,
a handout.
Well, let's just
go
come
ahead.
Have a thought here before we answer to the hand, and that is that, you know, when the mind is in blockage of truth and truth shows up, what happens is that truth showing up elevates stress levels in the mind. And most people would rather block the truth than have to handle their internal stress. And the reason for that, I offer, is because most people don't have forgiveness, don't have the tool with which to de-stress themselves. So anyway, Jamila's right on there. I love it. Thank you, Dr. Shim. Great quote. So let's say hello to our caller.
All right. It's area code 814. You are on the air. Who do we have?
814. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hey there.
There's kind of an echo, but
yeah.
Yeah.
What
who
is
you talking
number
to?
About?
Say it again.
I have a question. Did you know that Candace died?
Candace Pert?
No, not that Candace. Do you know that Candace died?
I don't know who Candace is.
Candace Dixon, yeah.
Okay, I cut him off there. We have another hand up.
Yes, let's go for it.
Okay, area code 541, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Shalinda.
Well, young lady, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. What you are talking about today is absolutely on the money. I just got back from a family reunion, and many of my relatives are evangelical Christians, which I absolutely adore them. I absolutely adore them. And my challenge is being willing to meet them where they are and hopefully
right.
with the guidance of spirit, because spirit's going to go beneath any languaging we use anyway, because it is our life energy, and it's that love in the heart. Those quotes you gave, Jeannie, were absolutely what I have been thinking about for a long, long time, and it was just like a confirmation. Thank you very much. If you could possibly give the URL for where you found those quotes or something, I would so appreciate it if you could put it in the notes. Thank you both. This is delightful. I am so grateful for this program today.
Well, we are absolutely delighted to be on the team and to have you on our team and to have your ear listening and your mind participating, and to the degree that you do, pass the thoughts along, pass the work along.
And I just, I'm really meditation challenged, and I realize now Spirit's telling me how to craft your message in exactly the way that my soul needs, and I thank you so much for the privilege of being on the team.
Sweet. That's just awesome.
Yep, it is.
And we are with you We are with you holding the space as that emotion starts to move. Breathing with
well,
you.
Well, it's moving through me. It comes out pretty strange sometimes. But I love it. I'm so glad getting rid of this whatever way I need to let go of my pain and to yet be empathetic, you know, to realize, to have spirit help me realize when I'm being empathetic and when I'm being sympathetic, when it's my stuff and when it's just my sitting with them, I just let the emotions flow.
Right. Sweet.
Thank you.
And breathe.
Thank you.
Breathing
and
with
breathe.
You.
Yes, yeah. And thank you. That's what I'm finding. It's my out-breath that I am constricting, and that is my resting breath in spirit. And it's just like, boy, am I out-breath challenged. And just learning how to let that go, it's like a little safety valve. When I can start letting that go, my ability to rest in life will be so much, so blessed. I won't know what to do with it.
Well, since the intensive, have you done any still point breathing?
Yes, I have.
Good.
And I've also been doing some Vipassana meditation.
Right.
But with this open mouth. And what I find, Michael, is that when I say thinking at the end of my session, my whole meditation has been thinking. So
right.
It's a practice, and I'm starting in nursery school. I'm starting to rebirth myself in the breath department.
Well, my thought is you might want to go back to the session where we did the still point and
okay.
Just let yourself follow the directions there and, you know, go step by step through it until it just becomes first nature to breathe that way when you're ready to move some energy. It's
and
such
Jeannie,
a profound
you,
practice.
Right, and somehow I have not received the URL for all of those Vimeo videos. Is there a chance, Jeannie, that you could email me that URL that will let me in to all of the sessions? I would so much appreciate it.
I sent them all out by email. It was an Excel
yes.
spreadsheet that had all of the links. I sent it to all the attendees of the workshop.
And I don't remember ever getting it, so I don't know what happened, but is it possible to send it again?
Yeah, I will.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. It's been rather disjointed with my internet service here, so yeah, I will. I'm going today. I'll definitely look for it. Thanks.
Cool. Well, anything else
Thank
happening in your world?
Well, just deep appreciation for the show, because that's what I'm hanging on to now that I'm, you know, intermittent with the internet service. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you, young lady. You have a blessed one.
Okay, young man and young lady. You take
you got
care
it.
Over there. You make sure that little Arya Rain teaches you what you're supposed to learn.
She has been, believe me, she has. We've actually
okay.
been studying anatomy and physiology together.
And thanks for that picture of your harvest. That was so sweet.
All right,
okay.
You have a blessed one.
You three take
care.
Care now. Bye-bye.
We will. Well, we've got lots of time for lots of conversation. If you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, our call-in number is 563-999-3581. So if you're listening on one of those syndicated stations and you can't get into our control panel, if you call that number, you'll be listening to the show on your phone. And then if you push 1, through the magic of technology, that will raise a hand in the control panel, and Jeannie will know that you want to have a conversation. You have a question for us or a comment, or how can we support you? What's on your mind? 563-999-3581. Push 1. I raise a hand to put you in the phone queue. So how can we support you? We've got 35 minutes left, thereabouts. So we've got lots of time for conversation. What is on your mind? We're listening. We're listening. Put your hand up.
Just a moment. We have another hand up. Area code
cool.
480. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hey, Dee. Hi, Michael. This is Cecilia.
Hey there, young lady.
So
what's on your mind today?
I went on Dr. Tim's radio show. I mean, not radio show. Mind Shifters group last night.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
How'd it go?
Really well. So we did a worksheet, and interestingly, when I did my worksheet, another participant had almost the exact same issue, and she said that happens a lot. I'm like,
yes.
Deja vu or weirdo or something, okay. So that was very interesting. My issue is always seems to always be my voice, but I feel like, you know, that is where God gets my attention to work on healing with, you know, my whole mind, body, and soul. So I did a worksheet last night that I shut down thing, and that I'm the trigger because I literally tear myself apart for not singing well enough all the time. Not all the time, but anyway. And so, we did work through that worksheet that it got down to the last, one of the last questions, let go of the goal of singing confidently and feeling safe and confident when I sing, let go of that. And what comes up for that is, of course, that's why I sent you guys the movie Sing. It's the story of the teachings in the world, the false teachings that there's the best and then there's the people who aren't the best, you know, auditions and everything that make it in. Fine, everybody else is mute yourself because you're not, you don't sing well enough. Well, so that's the movie. And so I remembered in my seventh grade choir, well, of course, I remembered I worked in that out over the weekend. And I put that down that my teacher, you know, tore into me in front of everybody and said, oh, would you mind just winding work? And I remember just never being able to sing or anything, much less speak anymore. And after that, and so at the bottom, he said, so what are you going to do for your next goal? That's interesting. So you've got that insight that's connected to you shutting down when you sing and having fear when you sing now. So what are you going to do for your goal?
Cecilia. It sounds like you're in your story now, and you've said before that you realize you need to get out of your story. So where are we heading?
Okay,
how can we support you? What's on your mind?
Yes, the goal at the bottom of the worksheet says that we need to what goal positive or creating perfect love and what goal do I set. And he said, you can do anything. I said, well, I'll just do another worksheet until I work through this, until it's completely, you know, everything's cleared up inside of me. He said, okay, you could do that, but you could do anything you want. You can write a letter to her. And I said, oh, my God, I'm so excited. I can write a letter. So I wrote a letter just saying how it affected me to her and that I, and of course, Tim said, and you can maybe realize that only somebody really wounded and insecure would damage a little girl saying something like that. And so when I was writing the letter, I was realizing that. And I just said that I just need you to be accountable and do your work on this. I'm doing my work, that I was a sponge, and I do the power person dynamic
to
myself.
You. Hello? Hello?
Hi.
So you recently said that you realized you need to get out of your story, and you're still telling your story. Where are we going with
this? I don't see
how
this is a story, though.
How can we support you?
What I'm just
Pardon me?
Trying to tell you, I don't see how this is a story. This is just a worksheet.
Yeah. Okay. So you're telling us a story about your worksheet. What I'm looking to is how can we support you? Where are we heading with this?
Well, sometimes when I listen to Dr. Kim's show, I hear him say you can share anything. And I don't know if your support has been able for me to be able to do this work. Like right now, I feel like I am either feeling embarrassed or, you know, my stuff is coming up just even hearing when I hear you say, stop me and tell me stuff like that. And I'm just trying to work.
Next worksheet.
I'm just trying. Yes. But what I'm trying to say is I realized that, you know, you bring this up sometimes when I call you, is that, you remember when I share with you that I love my dogs, but I vomit all my stuff on them. And I realized I'm no different than her. I'm no different than her.
Right. It's called the power person dynamic.
And Dr. Kim says that this time I can pray to Ruka. I'm just sharing what's going on. If that's not something that I just feel like it's not telling a story. It's just telling you how I'm working through it, unless you want to show me that it's not working through it. But Dr. Kim says that when the power, ask Ruka to show me to be able to see when the power person dynamic comes up, or like right now, I'm totally ripping into myself and vomiting on myself because I'm not, something inside of me is telling me I'm not doing it well enough, sharing well enough today.
So that, what's happening with your breath?
Everything's tight, Michael.
Okay.
So Ruka can help me see the power dynamic I do to myself. So before I act it out, and that's what actually I'm doing right now. I'm seeing the power person dynamic right now with me. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
So how do I
how about
share,
a mind shifter?
Michael? Sure.
Well, here's my offering, and I'm feeding back to you what you shared on the show recently, and I don't remember just which one it was, but in the last week or so, you had talked about that you're, in fact, I think I told you about the fellow at Heartland who wrote a song. He was our music director, and the title of his song was Stuck in My Story, My Pain and My Glory, and you were talking about how you realized that you had to stop telling your story. And so I was just feeding back that I wasn't getting where you wanted to go, where you were wanting support. It sounded like your story. So I was just reminding you of your own goal to stop telling your story and let go of it and look at, you know, what's the issue I'm heading for? What is it I'm really wanting support with? And one of the thoughts that comes is that a mind shifter at this stage might be really useful. Would you be open to a mind shifter? How about every time I open my mouth?
Okay.
Everyone around me gasps in approval at the sound of my voice.
Well, I can tell you that'll be a good one. I was breathing.
I think it will.
You said that.
I think, yeah, good.
Yeah.
Cool. So that'd be one that would probably be useful to, you know, set aside 2 or 3 or maybe even 4 hours and just write and write and write and just let everything that needs to surface around this voice issue come up and then looking at assessing what comes up, then choose which tools you're going to use to work through each different issue that surfaces. So, you know, the kind of issues that might surface, I could imagine if I were writing that might be, you know, I'm not being approved of, or I don't approve of myself. Somebody's judging me. I'm judging myself. There could be a whole raft of things that are going to come up in response to that mind shifter. And so just really step back. You know, one of the things you'll hear us talking about more and more as you work your way into the codependence intensive is becoming the thinker apart from the thought, the feeler apart from the feelings, the actor apart from the actions. And so just stepping back and observing your mind in operation, what it's telling you, what it's doing, and to recognize when it's on automatic pilot. And usually when it's on automatic pilot, it's playing out a power person dynamic. And you can simply remove those dynamics, just simply remove them, the self-judgment, the, you know, the words tearing into myself. That's a pretty dramatic behavior to do towards self. And I'm here to support you being loving and gentle and respectful with yourself.
I appreciate that.
And with your dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Which I assume that since you shared that event happening with the dogs some time ago, that probably the dynamics have changed there.
It is changing. I'm very aware of that dynamic, and I appreciate that you brought that up like nobody's business. Because, you know, I do believe now my parents love me, and they weren't aware of their stuff. So when we become aware, like I'm becoming aware, I can change.
Awesome. Awesome insight. What a space of compassion for your parents. That's fabulous.
Yeah, it is. It is a wonderful place to be in. So if I call again, and I'm sure I will, if I go over a workshop like that, is that when you share a worksheet, is that telling your story? I just want to understand it's just going over it in my head.
Okay. Well, here would be the difference to me. So if I do a worksheet, and I pick up the phone and I call into the show and I share every nuance, every step, every thought, everything in the worksheet, then I'm telling my story. I'm telling the story about this worksheet. If I do a worksheet and there's a piece of it that just, you know, it's not making sense. So I share that, you know, I started this worksheet with Dr. Tim, and it was on my voice, and I was tearing into myself, and I just don't really quite get what canceling a goal has got to do with this. So now we're asking a question, looking for support, as opposed to just reciting the story. And as I said, my understanding of your words back recently, I'm not sure exactly when it was, but within the last few shows, was you realized that you wanted to stop telling your story. So I'm supporting you in that.
Okay. Yes.
And so when I say where are we going here, what's the bottom line?
I'm just getting clarity. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. When I ask, you know, where are we going with this, I'm looking to comprehend why I'm hearing what I'm hearing, so that I can best support you with what your question is. But if there's no question, it's just going through what happened, that to me is the difference between I'm doing my work, I'm looking for support, and I'm falling into the old pattern of telling my story.
Okay. Wow, what a subtle fine line there that my mind is differentiating right now.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's what we're here to support.
Sure, yeah.
And
anyway,
one of the things I acknowledge you for, you know, right from the first time you reconnected, you know, several months back around the issue with the fellow that you were, you know, taking care of his condos or house or whatever it was, at how courageous you've been to really face some heavy stuff and do the work. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty cool. And I can't do it without you guys. So,
well, I'd support you. So how about another mind shifter?
I can't. The word can't. Crap. Okay. Go ahead.
What I realize is that the true teacher and the true guidance in doing my work comes from inside of me.
Okay.
And I willingly receive its empowerment. This is a process that's meant to be done for yourself, by yourself.
Okay.
We're here to act as support as you build the brain cells for doing it. But, yes, you can do it. And we're not a necessary component of it. We want to hand you the tools that you become proficient at and totally and completely self-sufficient, independent with it. That's the ultimate goal of this work.
Okay. Can I go over what you said?
Sure.
The mind shifting. So mm-hmm. I wrote down, what I realize is that the true teacher and true guidance come from inside me, and I really, that's where I dropped off. And something's like, I really want to know what I realize. So what do you got to say about that? To finish it off, you finished it off saying, and I really, the guidance, true guidance comes from inside me, and I really.
That was so long ago.
Okay, hold on.
It
was true guidance in doing my work comes from inside of me. You left off the in doing my work, and that's what you were saying you couldn't do on your own. So that the true teacher and the true guidance in doing my work comes from inside of me. And
okay.
I willingly receive, and then I didn't get the rest of it either.
That guidance.
Oh, okay, yes. Okay. Well, very good. Very good. Helps me get my mind in the right place. I like my mind in the right place. I like to get past the part that isn't clear about where the right place is. So,
sweet.
Anyway.
And I want to strongly urge you to keep in the forefront the fact that the ultimate guide for that isn't out here.
Okay.
The ultimate guide for that is inside of you.
Okay.
It isn't me.
Yes.
It isn't Jeannie. It isn't Dr. Tim. It isn't some preacher or some therapist or some whatever. It's inside of you. That's what you really want to be connecting with.
Yes. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
I like that teaching. I like that. Is it true? It's true. Okay.
Nice work.
Thanks. There you go. I will be around.
All right. You have a blessed one. Lots of love.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. And, you know, before you jump too far away, you know, you had mentioned the idea that embarrassment was coming up, and that too would be just another worksheet. So support you doing that one as well. And we've got about 17 or so minutes left. So plenty of time for another conversation. Plenty of time to open the space to look at the principles. I've got a little story I'm going to read if we don't have a hand up, Jeannie.
And, we do not have a hand up.
Okay. So that I titled this, and I put the title on, it's not my story, but we came across it on Facebook, and I thought it was pretty cool. And the title that I put on is Arguing with Blockage of Truth. Remember that if we honor truth, the mind can show us the truth. If we live in blockage of truth, know the problem's always outside of me, then we won't be able to see that. So here's what I thought was a cute story that illustrated the point. And what's really important, the donkey said to the tiger, "The grass is blue." The tiger replied, "No, the grass is green." Discussion heated up, and the two decided to submit it to arbitration. And for this, they went before the lion, the king of the jungle. Already, before reaching the forest clearing where the lion was sitting on his throne, the donkey began to shout, "His Highness, is it true that the grass is blue?" The lion replied, "True, the grass is blue." The donkey hurried and continued. The tiger disagrees with me and constricts and annoys me. Please punish him, King then declared. The tiger will be punished with 5 years of silence. The donkey jumped up cheerfully and went on his way, content and repeating, "The grass is blue." The tiger accepted his punishment, but before he did, he asked the lion, "Your Majesty, why have you punished me? After all, the grass is green." The lion replied, "In fact, the grass is green." The tiger asked, "So why are you punishing me?" The lion replied, "That has nothing to do with the question of whether the grass is blue or green. The punishment is because it is not possible for a brave and intelligent creature like you to waste time arguing with a donkey. And on top of that, you bother me with that question. The worst waste of time is arguing with the fool and fanatic who does not care about truth or reality, but only the victory of his beliefs and illusions. Never waste time on arguments that don't make sense. There are people who, no matter how much evidence we present to them, are not in the capacity to understand, and others are blinded by ego, hatred, and resentment. And all they want to be is right, even if they are not. When ignorance screams, intelligence is silence. Your peace and quiet are worth more." And we see so much of this going on in the culture today, and people losing their peace over some of the most ridiculous arguments that can be presented. First order business is to maintain that center, that connected space to the true mind of love that resides within us. And when we disconnect from that, you know, the king here in this case is a symbol of the self. When we disconnect from the truth, we punish self, no matter what the argument is. So I thought that was kind of an interesting way of approaching this culture that is so filled with conflict and ludicrous, silly discussions and arguments that people act like their lives depend on it. And when we choose to honor truth above all else, then we get to live in a different world. The game becomes something quite different. And so we're honored to be spending this time with you, and our call-in number, if you're on the station where we can't see you, is 563-999-3581. Dial that number. You'll be listening to the show. Push 1, and we'll have a conversation. How can we support you?
We have a hand up.
Awesome. Let's say hello.
I believe it's Miss Roma, 808. You're on the air.
Hi.
Well, hey there, young lady. I almost asked Jeannie this morning if you've been on recently, because we really hadn't heard from you since a little while back when you were saying you were having trouble getting on. So I'm glad you're on. How are you?
I'm fine. And the weird thing is that the telephone that was, I was always getting this weird, it fixed itself. I didn't do anything to it.
All right.
It just fixed itself.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Life cooperates.
Well, I talk less in general. I don't know why exactly. It's part of why.
Well, I think somebody once said that we have two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Oh, boy. So that story about the lion and the donkey and the tiger. As you were telling the story, for some reason or other, I began to weep. And I don't understand why. I don't know why, but I felt so sad.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have there been some futile and ludicrous arguments that you've experienced loss over in your life that maybe you're just processing some of the grief of loss, and maybe it's just a time to breathe and be with that energy moving? That's what's surfacing.
I think so. Yeah. And I still don't understand it, but it's still there.
Yeah. Well, remember when we talk about the codependence process, we offer the pseudo-solutions of the non-being mind. And the number one pseudo-solution is, if I could just figure this out. And you can't figure it out. But you can be with it, and you can forgive it, and you can breathe into it and process whatever is at the root of it. Figuring it out is like the booby prize.
Well, I think figuring it out is a way to avoid the pain. If there's pain.
Yep.
Yeah, it's
exactly. And we're much, much better off if we can just move headlong into the pain, remember to breathe, and be with what needs to be processed through. And, you know, sometimes you open those things, and they can be gigantic.
But, you know, it's only pain. And it's only tears. And they pass. And then the next moment, you know, my cat just jumped up. And the next moment offers me a sweet opportunity to just my kitty. And then it passes. The pain, the sadness.
Yes.
It wasn't pain. It was deep sadness that I felt at the story. It's so strange. Maybe I'll figure it out, if anyone's interested. But who knows?
I don't know if you were on the show. This is back a few months ago. I was doing a still point session, and I touched into generational grief. And the amount of sadness, my brain, being Rooka, whatever, gave me this visual, and I was looking down into this abyss, and it was just like the abyss was filled with darkness, and there were spots of light throughout it. And what I realized is I was looking into the unresolved pain of my generations and just how unfathomably huge the energy that was there was to be processed. And just breathe into it and be with it and let it move. But it was just like, I mean, I can't see it now, but it was a visual in my mind as I was doing that still point session. But I moved my eyes downward. My eyes were closed, but I moved them downward. And it was just this, the only words I could come up with was just this huge abyss. And the darkness that was there to be processed was just beyond comprehension. And I think to open to our capacity to be able to embrace that, you know, shortly after that, it occurred to me that that's exactly what Yeshua is doing in the Garden of Gethsemane. When they talk about, you know, him sweating blood, and according to some of the theological interpretations, you know, this idea of taking on the sins of the world, like, you know, he's going to pick up that burden, whereas in fact, you know, what I got from that experience was that he was opening to this, the presence, the full presence of literally the love of God, and in so doing was able to move into a space of processing all of that which humanity hasn't had a clue what to do with. So perhaps you're moving into a space where you're going to be able to embrace more of that in a personal way with your own life and your own bloodline. And then perhaps go to the next universal place where you can stand beside him in Gethsemane and help hold the space.
The only thing that comes into my mind is that I've been having conversations with my sister on the phone, and that's a big breakthrough because for 40 years she just was so committed to hating me, and it was so difficult for me. And I guess maybe the idea of agreeing with the donkey, insisting that the grass was green, is that for the donkey, the grass is green. And that's how I managed to have the breakthrough in communication with my sister. Is
to be able to communicate with your sister, yeah. That's powerful.
We're communicating. And
sweet.
We don't argue. And I think it has to do with accepting the donkey the way it is and having it be okay that the donkey's grass is green, is blue and mine is green, and that's okay. You know? And that somehow has made it possible. You know, and it's like walking on, when you know there's a landmine in the ground. It's kind of like that. Like that, because I never know when she's going to explode.
Yeah.
But I'm,
and of course, her explosion can't touch you unless there's something in you to be touched by her explosion.
Yeah.
And as you forgive that in you and process through that in you, it's going to be easier and easier and easier to be with her, even if she explodes, because her explosion isn't your problem. Your problem is, what does that explosion move in you that needs to be forgiven?
Well, I keep coming up with things that are not necessarily what we're talking about. But what's coming up now is that there's fear. You know, fear.
Breathing with you. And the phone's going to cut us off in less than a minute, so...
Oh, I see. Well, it's okay. Anyway,
breathing with you.
I send my
through that fear
to everyone, to you and Jeannie and to everyone on the call. And thank you so much for being for all of us.
Delighted to be here. And perhaps if any of that's still moving on Monday, we can take it to the next level. Holding
it probably won't. It'll be gone, probably, you know.
All right.
I'm
have a blessed one.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio.